My dear family of God, at the thought of this being my last 10-15 mass with you, my heart was filled with sadness, especially when I took my itinerary, my calendar for masses this morning, and I found that this is going to be the last 10-15 mass I'm going to have with you. But in the midst of this, as I said in my introduction to this Mass, I take consolation from the Gospel reading of today. And this is what I want to share with you. Beloved in Christ, today Jesus does something beautiful. In the midst of rejection, he gives praise and thanksgiving to his Father. This thanksgiving prayer of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 27 to 28, stands in contrast to the preceding narrative of verses 20 to 24. In this text, Jesus upbraids the towns of Chorazin and Capernaum for their rejection of him, despite his divine presence and closeness to them, despite all the miraculous deeds and the mighty deeds accomplished in their midst. Just as John prophesied that Jesus came to his own, and his own did not accept him. Like his childhood hometown of Nazareth, his ministry, which was mostly centered in Capernaum and Galilee, and the town surrounding Galilee, where Jesus found a home as an adult in his life ministry, Jesus is being rejected in the towns of Capernaum, in the towns of Chorazin. And he would ask, Chorazin, do you want you to be lifted up to the sky? No. If the things done in your midst were to be done at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities would have existed till time. Having said this, Jesus now turns towards the Father. Lifting up his eyes and mind to heaven, he gives praise to the Father. Reflecting on this passage, I ask myself, what is it that Jesus is thanking the Father for? Yes, there's a reason and there's a cause for this thanksgiving prayer. While several towns and cities have rejected him, there is a remnant that trusts Jesus with that simplicity of infant. And so he offered a humble prayer. I thank you, Father, for having revealed to these little ones the things you have hidden from the learned and from the wise and from the understanding. For the sake of the remnant, the few faithful, the disciples who trust Jesus with that simplicity of infant, remain a symbol of hope, a sign of hope to Jesus that all is not lost. Even though many cities have rejected him, there are few who are faithful and who keep trust and faith with Jesus. Beloved in Christ, looking back into salvation history, God does not need multitude of people in order to glorify himself. but always using the remnant, the few who remain faithful to him. Begin with creation story. He created Adam. In the second creation story, he created Eve. When man had fallen into sin, he chose Noah. From Noah, he chose Abraham. In Abraham, he chose Isaac. In Isaac, he chose Jacob. Even though he blessed Jacob with 12 tribes of Israel, he chose the tribe of Judah. And from them, he will choose Joseph. You can keep on counting and counting to the time of Jesus himself. God, in the history of salvation, has been making use of the very few who remain faithful to him to glorify himself. And it is this that gives hope to Jesus to give thanks to God, his Father. The few disciples who had remained faithful to him and continue to trust him, they are reason for his thanksgiving to the Father. Beloved in Christ, it is on this note that I want to exhort each and every one of you. I have said this in this church before, that looking at the time in which we find ourselves as a diocese, we cannot pretend and pray ostrich, having our neck sunk into the soil, thinking that nothing is happening in the world. In one way or the other, we face the truth. Both the clergy and the faithful. Because we do not know what the future holds for us, anxiety and frustrations have taken place in our lives. And it is thus that I believe Jesus is addressing us. My prayer today is that you and me would be counted among the remnant, the few who remain faithful in our friendship with God. I know already many have even deflected from the faith. They are no longer going to church. I'm blessed to have you sit here today. Soon we are going to begin the transitional period. Let nothing frustrate your faith in Christ Jesus. Hold on to that faith and yearn for the sacrament and keep your devotion to worship as you have been doing long before this time of transition. Be counted among the remnant. That's my message. And how are you going to keep faith with Christ? Jesus himself today leads us in thanksgiving. Saint Paul understood this, and he made it as a secret. In times of persecution, in times of crisis, in times of suffering. In his letter, first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, precisely verses 18, he directed the faithful, give thanks always in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Beloved, preceding this, there are two directives. When Paul said that, rejoice always and pray continually, constantly pray and give thanks in every circumstance, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Beloved, this is what I have develop and design a model for resilience in faith crisis based on this text of St. Paul. And this model is being informed by three things: joy, prayer, and thanksgiving. It is my faith anchor. And this is what Paul proposes to all of us. Pray always. Rejoice at all times. Give thanks in all things. Joy, prayer, thanksgiving. These are our faith anchor. And together, they are evidence of the fire of the Holy Spirit at work in God's people. Paul wrote, affirming their faith in Christ in times of persecution and crisis, that as long as they keep faith with God and keep the fire of the Holy Spirit ablaze, they remain conquerors in times of suffering and crisis. And so he exhorted them, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. Beloved, joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when we rejoice, we overcome the weapon of the devil. Beloved, the twofold weapons of the devil are sadness, grief, and fear. The devil rejoices when he sees the sons and daughters of God grieving, being in sadness and sorrow, and being filled with fear. And that's why in the scriptures, 366 times, the Lord exhorts his people, do not be afraid. So as it were, every day when you wake up, God speaks to you, my son, my daughter, never be afraid. Because fear is the greatest weapon of the evil one. And so St. Paul exhorts us to rejoice. When we rejoice with that gift of joy, we overcome anxiety. We overcome fear. We overcome the threat of the devil. And we remain victorious, putting the devil into shame. And when we are filled with joy, beloved, we go into prayer with all eagerness. So we pray constantly, and trusting ourselves unto God, that we depend on him for our livelihood in every life circumstances. And when we, with devotion to prayer, we come before God, we come with that heart of gratitude. And so we give thanks. Paul tells us that our thanksgiving does not depend on our life circumstances. We will not wait for blessings to be bestowed upon us only for us to give thanks. But even in sadness and in sorrow, we continue to give thanks. And that means our natural human response to that unchanging goodness and plan of God. Whenever we give thanks to God in every life circumstances, we come to affirm his unchanging plan for us. That despite all the troubles, despite all the sufferings, the Lord will reign supreme over every life circumstances. And so Jesus, in the midst of rejection, will thank his Father because there is hope with the few disciples who had come into faith in him. Beloved, you are the reason why Jesus gives thanks to his Father. You are the reason why Jesus praises his Father. Because you, with the simplicity of an infant, keeping faith with Jesus, You come with that devotion to worship. Let us keep this friendship with the Lord and continue to rejoice, continue to pray, and continue to give Him thanks in the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. Jesus modeled us, and having given thanks to the Father, He invites us to come after Him. He presents Himself as a perfect model of obedience to the Father's will. And so, come to me, all you who are labored and overburdened. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and humble of heart. Yes, Jesus is that messianic king who comes to us with the virtues of humility, lowliness, and peace. And so Zechariah invites the household of Israel, rejoice with Jerusalem, for the coming of your salvation is so close at hand. He announces the coming of the Messiah, the Messianic King, who comes with the virtues of lowliness, poverty, and humility, and above all, comes as a peaceful king. And so in his triumphant entry, Jesus will not ride on a horse, but sitting on a donkey, an animal of peace. And this is the message that Zechariah gives us today. Rejoice, for your salvation is close at hand. My dear family of God, it's only when we keep this fruit of the Holy Spirit, joy, in our heart, that we have the motivation to pray. And in offering our prayers, we give thanks to the Father. May this triad model of joy, prayer, and thanksgiving lead us through this period of transition. You don't know the graces that God has prepared for us. Never give up. Let's push on. Wherever the Eucharist is, make every effort to be there. Celebrate with joy with Jesus in His sacrifice, and He will forever bless you. Pray for me as I keep on praying for you. I'm going to miss all of you. I'm going to miss, as I said, your devotion to worship, the cry of the babies, which is a sign of the future of the church, your friendship, your love, and everything. Wherever I'm going to serve, I have you at heart. Our friendship is one of eternity. For Christ has promised us, all of us one day will be at the heavenly banquet. As God has seen us fit to be at table with Him here on earth, may He lead us to the joys of the heavenly banquet, where you will see each other once again and rejoice. I'm still here in Cedar Rapids. Officially, I'm exiting from this parish to join the Eastern Pastorate of St. Pius, St. Ludmilla, St. John the Baptist, Mount Vernon, All Saints, and then Mount Mercy, Chaplaincy. I'm still here. I'm now the supervisor of Cedar Rapids. I'm everywhere. So wherever you see me, please feel free. If you miss me, come to 7:30 Mass at Mount Mercy. I'm always there. That one is 100% sure. I'm going to be there every 7:30 on Sunday. So let us hold each other's hand and then walk together in this period of transition. Together we stand, divided we fall. With the strength of unity, let us push each and everyone into the heavenly banquet. Pray for me that after preaching to you, I myself will not be left out. Let us all walk together. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The priest is a wounded healer. And so he cannot even cry in public. He always dying within. What can I say? I'm so grateful to all of you. Beginning from this sanctuary, my brothers and sisters who have been serving here. The first time I had my first Sunday Mass with such a large number of altar service, I gave thanks to God. It's something that I never had in my 3 years in New York. It's such a wonderful blessing and gift to us. They are here because of who you are. You come to church with your family. You initiate the children into the faith, and they long to serve the Lord. So parents, thank you for the wonderful work you are doing. I thank you for the cries of the babies. When I hear the cries, I have hope for the future of the church. I want to thank you, the seven sisters who devoted themselves every day praying for me. And all of you, I know you do pray for me. I thank you. I cannot be mentioning names. That which saddens my heart is that when I came, I thought I was going to be here for 5 years. Just 1 year, I'm to exit. But I believe that we are together. So the Lord calls us unto Himself. So I want to thank you for your gift of love, the gift of fellowship, the gift of brotherhood that we have all shared together. And above all, for your devotion to the Holy Mass. We celebrated the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ together. And it's always my joy coming here. When I see the crowd, for St. Augustine once said, "For you, I am a bishop, but with you, I am a Christian." It's your presence that makes my priesthood meaningful. And so when I see large crowd gathered to worship the Lord, I'm filled with joy. I want to thank you for everything. We are here together. As I said, I'm still at Mount Mercy. In case of anything, just call on me. My email is still active. If you want my number, you can get it. Just call on me, either to pray with you, to do anything for you as a priest. I am here because of you. So thank you so much, and may God continue to bless all of you. Amen.